Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this wonderful rainy morning that God has given us today. Thanking God for the rain, because rain cleanses the earth. So I'm thanking God for the rain this morning, and I'm thanking God for each and every one of you. Let us pray this morning, and before we get into our word, Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be called sons and daughters of God. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father God, let this word, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Father God, you are my sin, and you are my redeemer. I give myself away today, Lord God, for you to use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High, who is the source of all of our sins, for we are nothing. I think the word says we're like filthy rags without God. We are nothing without him. And so we put our trust in him this morning. We put our trust in him every day. But there is no us without God. But he is the one that created us. He is the one that knitted us in our mother's womb. He is the one that blew the breath of life in our body. And the word that God gave me this morning is, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love. And we know that the rest is in a sound mind. We ask God for a sound mind today. You know, I always use the term, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Don't give up your mind. Don't give anybody a piece of anything. You need all your mind yourself, because you need a sound mind, and you need all of it. So don't go giving away any pieces of mind, your mind, and keep God first in everything that you do, because we know that our Father God is love, and love will conquer fear, love will conquer hate, love will conquer everything and anything. All we have to do is believe, and I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we know, this is New Testament Psalm Proverbs is what we're going to be doing today. And our new book of the Bible, yay, give the heck out. Yay, new book of the Bible, new book of the Bible. And our new book is 2 Timothy this morning. And we just finished 1 Timothy on Thursday, and it was good. And so let's get our little overview from our Know Your Bible. Can y'all say your Bible? And our little Know Your Bible book tells us that 2 Timothy was probably written by Paul in around mid-60s A.D. And 10 words or less to describe 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul's final words to a beloved coworker. He loved Timothy. Timothy was his son. We call Timothy Paul's godson. And he was the one that he addressed this letter to. And it says 2 Timothy may be the last known letter of Paul. Now that we learned today, that it may be the last known letter of Paul, addressed to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. The book warns the young pastor against false teachers and urges him to live a life of purity before his congregation. Timothy should expect trouble. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But God will be faithful. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me until his heavenly kingdom. Paul begs Timothy to join him as quickly as possible, as the time of my departure is at hand. And it wasn't a departure to go to Asia. It was a departure to death. Because Paul was writing this from Rome. Quotable from this book. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Unique and unusual about 2 Timothy. Paul tells where the Bible comes from in 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The idea of the word inspiration is breathed out. So what says 2 Timothy? We should all live life in such a way that we can say like Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And we know in some Bibles it says, I have the race. I have kept the faith. So let's finish the race and keep the faith and forgive this sleepy host this morning. And I thought I had a great night's sleep, but I guess I did not. But I'm thanking God that he gave me another day. You know, we can't get caught up in, oh, I'm so tired. I think I'm just going to cancel my show today. You know, we can read the word tomorrow. You know, whatever your assignment is for God, just do it. Even when you're tired, even when you're weary, do what your assignment is for God. Pray for your pastors today. Some pastors have been up most of the night trying to get that sermon together for God to change it on them today. You know, and some pastors have had to go and do, pray over, pray with. Keep your pastors in prayer today. So I pray for my pastor, Pastor Jesse. You know, this is a big day for us. This is our anniversary Sunday. We have guests coming. You know, we're asking everyone to do their part today. We've got to ask God to guide and lead and show the way. But it is not easy to do the jobs the pastors do. And as we get into our word this morning, Paul is speaking to a young pastor. To a young pastor that he considers his son. Who he loves just as if he was his son. And I understand that. I love my daughter, and that's what I call her, my daughter. She's my adopted daughter. And the fact is that I'm grateful to her mother that she shares her with me. Because she doesn't have to. She could be one of those people who lives in another state and gets mad because her daughter has a godmother. She's there for her. But when she left the last time, she put her in my hands. Some years ago, she said, I'm putting her in your hands. Her dad put her in my hands, her mom. And I take that job very seriously. And I'm grateful for this young woman in my life. And I love her just as much as if she was mine. We have to adopt family. We have to help others. We have to be the best we can be to help others be the best they can be. So I'm grateful to God for the desire of my heart. A daughter evangelist. And she came with the passage. So thank you, God. And I thank my youngest granddaughter, who was my adopted granddaughter, who adopted me. She told me one day, when she was like, I guess 3 or 4, I've known her since she was born. And she told me, I think she was 4, 3, Johnny's 4. And she looked at me and she said, that she was keeping me and that I was going to be her grandmother. And that was it. As far as she was concerned, it was a done deal, and but nobody going to change who I was to her. It was and it is. So thank God for children, and thank God for the love that they get from their hearts. So I thank God for my adopted grandbaby who adopted me as her grandmother. So thank you all, and let's get in this word. And we're going to start this morning in the 119th Psalm at Lamed. And it says this, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Just like my baby settled it in her mind and in her spirit, I was her grandmother, and that was nothing anybody could say or do about it. And her sister, who was older, looked at like, hey, I could have told you that already, that she was our grandmother. You know, and my grandson, it's like, hey, he fights me. See, if somebody tell him I wasn't his grandmother, he tell you, yes, she is. And I thought, and he calls me grandma. He's like, no, I'm not even playing with y'all. Y'all can call him Miss Bridget, but I'm calling her grandma. Because I held him. He wasn't even an hour old when I got to hold him. And he's been a baby ever since. You know, and we thank God. And what did it say? Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And if God says something is settled, if somebody tells you it is settled, it's settled. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and its abides. They continue this day according to your ordinance, for all are your servants. Unless your law has been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me. I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. God's in charge, and what God says as a word is a word. Just as my babies adopted me and said it was done, and it was so, so what God says, it is done, and it is so. And God has told us that we cannot walk in fear. Don't walk in fear, walk in faith. For God did not give us a spirit power and of love and of a sound mind. And when we believe that, everything else starts to fall in place. We can't walk in fear and walk in love and faith at the same time. Yeah, Proverbs 119 Proverbs verses 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. But they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgment, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You got to hate false ways. Because we are God's sons and daughters. We follow after our Father. None. Your word is a map to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in your hands, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me. yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as an heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. And as we look back over our psalm, 119 psalm, starting at verse 89 and ending at verse 112. And when we look at what God has to tell us, then that's his word. But God has not given us fear. And as we go into the life lesson that comes out of the 109th Psalm, 119th Psalm, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And what did God tell us that he did not give us a spirit of fear? And it says, left to ourselves, we often don't know which way leads to life and which way ends in death. We remain in the dark. But God's word provides us with a searchlight to cut through the darkness and lead us to safety. God has given us faith through Jesus Christ, who is the light. He is light. And he has cut through the darkness to give us a path to stay in our square. As long as we stay in our square and walk that path of light, all the darkness around us will not catch us. But if we stray and go down the dark path, the light is not there. We got to keep trusting Jesus. We got to keep believing that everything is going to work out, because God has not given us fear. And we will bring light wherever we go. Why? Because we are God's children. And we have the power. We have the power of love, which is our Father. Proverbs, starting at chapter 28, starting at verse number 2. And it says, because of the transgression of a land, many are its princes. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. We know that the enemy thinks that he's prevailing, because he now has people hating each other, has people, families divided over politics, have children being disrespectful to their parents, have children killing children in the schoolhouses. He thinks he is going to win, but we know that he will not, and that love will prevail. We will not walk in fear. We will walk in faith. And it says this in Proverbs 28:3, a poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Come on now. You don't have anything, and you're trying to lord your nothing over somebody else's less than nothing. Come on. God is not that kind of God. And you will find yourself in a grave praying with God. Proverbs 28:4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Proverbs 28, verses 2 through 4. Now to get in our main word for this morning. Our New Testament word on New Testament Sunday is a new book. Again, 2 Timothy. And we just went over the overview in our little book. What the Bible says. Know your Bible. And Paul, this may be Paul's last letter to Timothy. And he's trying to get him stirred up, because he's got a lot of work to do. And he's a young pastor, and Paul's giving him sage advice on what's going to happen, what can happen, and what Timothy needs to do. And this is advice for a lot of us who are new in ministry, who may have not been in this assignment long as Pastor Titus. may have been ministers for a long, long time. But when you're elevated to a pastor, it's a whole different market. You report to your senior pastor. But your job is to help so your senior pastor can do their assignment. We are helpers in the ministry. Your deacons, your elders, your apostles. We all have those fivefold assignments. Teachers, whatever your assignment is within the body of Christ, just do it and help your pastor. But they are not out there by themselves working the work alone. So let's get into the word this morning. And it says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in who? Christ Jesus. Not in any man, but in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with the pure as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Greatly desiring to see you being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am persuaded it's in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom was Phygellus and Hermogenes, The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. And we'll do life lessons from 2 Timothy at the end of our scripture reading this morning. You therefore, my son, be strong, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, Commit those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crop. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered terrible as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Say that again. The word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, we also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but showing profane and idle babbling. Come on now. Let's say it again. And that's all of us. If we get into that gossipy spirit, then we got to cut it short. If someone gets into that babbling, profane babbling, always got to talk, shut them down. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. You know, folks get in offense. Everything happens. But we got to stop ourselves. Because sometimes we can let our mouths get away from us. And we all know that the power of death and of life is in the tongue. We got to be careful. And as Paul has told us in his word, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Come on now, Paul, you better speak it. The Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee for lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish, ignorant disputes. Come on now. Knowing that they generate strife. And I'm going to read that again. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses, and the spirit of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So folks will love it. I love how we as Christians love to reprimand each other. where we sometimes need to do some self-evaluation and some of the things we say. And I'm speaking of me, because I can have them out, and I can let some things come out. But it's a mind, not art, always. Even though some things that come out may be true, it's how they come out and how they tend to feel. So we have to be very careful of this little membrane behind our teeth that we call the gum, because it can cut like a knife. And we must watch what we say, especially if we are in the faith, because your little tongue that can cut like a knife can ruin someone's faith, can mess up what God has been working on. We've got to be careful what we say. Sometimes you just need to listen and keep your thoughts to yourself and your tongue behind your teeth. And as we get into our last chapter of 2 Timothy for today, we are in chapter 3. And we read that in our little book, chapter 3, given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so let's get into our words so we can find what Paul has to say about that. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. But men will be lovers of themselves. Come on now, all up in today. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, woo, all up in it, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness by denying its power. What do we say? What is power about? God has not given us fear, but the power of love. Oh, amen. But Paul is being prophetic in this word, and this is what is going on right now. Right now. And I'm reading it again. Not trying to offend anyone, but the truth is the truth, and the prophetic is the prophetic. All those thousands of years ago gave this prophetic word for today. And it says this one more time. But know this, that in the last days, come on now, not today, but the last days, we are in the last days, family. Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, come on now, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, come on, January 6th, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. But all this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Whew. Now as Janus and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. I'm reading it again. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Come on now. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose of faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We better get this word. This is our word for today. This is not a yesterday word. This is a today word. And it is a tomorrow word. We've got to understand so we can see what Paul has said, and we need to know it. And it says, but you must continue to the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And what is he telling? And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. We've got to read the word to our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren, to children in general. They need to know the word so they can fight the fight of faith, so they can fight with wisdom. They can fight with the word. The word is our weapon of choice. And I'm saying it again, and that from childhood. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it tells us this one more time. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And our word, we need to keep this in our heart. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly every good. One more time, verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Whatever you have to do for God, just do it. Just do it. And understand, not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't walk in fear, walk in faith. Just do what you got to do. You got to walk the walk, talk the talk. Don't talk about it, just do it. And we're going to go through some life lessons. And again, my disclaimer for today, I am not paid by Dr. Stanley for his ministry, but I will tell you, this Bible is one of the best Bibles to buy. The life lessons will take us where we need to go to understand what we've read. And so the life lessons for 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 1, verse 3, without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. We learn from Paul's letters that he had an extremely active prayer life. Did he keep a list, a prayer journal? We don't know. But he must have developed some kind of system to help direct his many prayers. 2 Timothy chapter 6, stir up the gift of God, which is in you. God never takes away the spiritual gift from us in Romans 11 and 29. But they can lose the sharp edge of effectiveness through our neglect. God instructs us to use our gifts for the benefit of his people. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We've got, if your job is communicating and reading the word of God, just do it. You know, God knows that I have been ill, had that awful cold. But every morning, nipples and all, I got up to do what God called me to do. Because when God calls you, he will equip you. Even when you can't hardly speak, he will put breath in your body. We've got to trust God in everything. We cannot walk in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Keep trusting God. 2 Timothy verse 1 and 8. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. As human beings, we have a natural tendency to feel ashamed of beliefs of individuals that get ridiculed by the majority. God calls us to draw upon his power to identify courageously with his son. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of the Most High. God has given you power. And don't walk in fear. Walk in faith. Walk in love. Walk in power. Ask God for a sound mind. And don't go giving a piece of your mind to anybody. And as we get into 2 Timothy chapter 2, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't encourage Timothy merely to be strong. Any patient can do that. He encourages him to be strong in the grace of Jesus. Only in God's strength can we become strong. Strong because our Father is strong. And he has put that strength in us. And as we go into our life, and to what the Bible says, words that build eternally. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, it says, your words can build someone up or tear someone down. They can be a blessing or a curse. They can be a bridge to the kingdom of God or put up roadblocks. Words reflect who you are. George Crane said, language is the apparel in which your thoughts parade before the public. Let me say that again. Language is the apparel in which your thoughts parade before the public. And if you are always negative, and that negativity you wear, if you're positive, then that positivity is what you wear. If you are an encourager, encouragement is what you wear. If you're talking about everybody and you are gossiping babble, then that is what you wear. We got to understand language is the apparel in which your thoughts parade before the public. What do your words show you to be clothed with? Do they witness to your love of God and dependence upon his grace? Or do your words testify to a sinful war in your heart? Do you encourage people toward Christ or dishearten them from ever entering the kingdom? Remember, sometimes we can be so heavenly minded, we know earth is good. So we got to make sure that we have the right balance. In 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, Paul admonishes a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, haven't been taken captive by him to do his will. The reaction, the reason the servant of God should watch is our words is because the words have eternal value of those who are listening to them. So if you're giving me something positive and I say something negative, I can mess up what you were feeling. You can mess up a vibe. If everything is doing well, everybody's doing well, and you come in with a negative mouth, can mess it up for everybody. So we got to be very careful. And I'm talking about me. I can't talk about anybody but myself. We have to be careful how we say things, because you never know who may take what you say in the wrong way. And it can mess up our day of feeling. So we have to feel for each other and care for each other and watch our mouth. And it goes on to say the reason the servant of God should watch his words, because words have eternal value to those who are listening to them. The more your words are clothed with grace, the more you can be sure you are building bridges to the kingdom. Be careful what you speak and how you say that. And some life lessons again from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we are in a spiritual war, then we must be soldiers in God's army. And that's exactly what Paul said. Soldiers are called on to endure the hardship in order to win the war. So are we. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And you know the song said, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. I've got my war clothes on in the army. We got to know. And then it tells us, if I die, let me die in the army of the Lord. If I die, let me die in the army. We want to be soldiers in the army of the Lord. However it is, put your war clothes on, because we are at war against the principalities of darkness. In chapter 2, verse 7, it says, may the Lord give you understanding in all things. How do we gain spiritual understanding? First, we have to consider what God says in his what? In his word. Ponder it. Which word the word tell us? Take on it day and night. Turn it over in our minds. Then we have to pray that he enlightens our guests for understand our quest, excuse me, for understanding, but work together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If we claim to be Christian, then we must live for God as Jesus did. The love and grace of God does not free us to sin. It gives us the strength and the desire to gladly discover and do his will. Not my will be done, but your will. We belong to God, and it's always his will, not ours. What the Bible, Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible applies to all men and women in every culture, in every age, in every walk of life. It is God's supernatural manual that alone reveals the mind, the ways of God, so that humankind may know and experience his presence. The Bible is God's written record of his work through the ages. It provides substantial evidence of his nature, plan, and purpose. Ooh, I love that. So that we can confidently place our faith in him. Because of the Bible, we are not left to archaeological, historical, or theological guesswork. We can know, for it is written. Because the Bible is inspired, God breathed into life final and ultimate authority. The Bible is the last word on issues pertaining to God and his ways. No individual instruction or organization can supersede the authority of Scripture. That is exactly why we are admonished not to add to or take away from the scripture, Revelation 22 and 18. They perfectly express the decrees and judgments of Almighty God. The Bible is authoritative because it is the truth. The eternity of your word is true. Praise the Lord, somebody. And as we get finished in our last words and life lessons today, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness by denying its power, human beings love the trappings of religion, special costumes, mysterious rituals, reverent traditions, solemn atmosphere. It soothes and reassures them so long as they can control it, and a sovereign God never insists on his way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This is one of those promises of God that we really rather do without. God tells us that not to discourage us, but to prepare us for the inevitable so that we can shine for him when the time comes. Ooh, what a God he says. And our last words, coming out of chapter 16, out of verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3, which we read just a minute ago, but we're going to read it again because we need to get it in our spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We got to go to work. There's things we got to do. And it tells us, and Dr. Stanley says it so eloquently, God gave us scriptures for a particular reason. Our growth is grace. It teaches us the truth about God, corrects us when we're wrong, and explains how to grow so that we can become effective ambassadors for Jesus. And that is our word this morning. I thank you all for joining me. We have a word from our sister in Christ on Friday. Our word came right after we had just ended the show. But I do want to give a word from our sister, Sister Carolyn. Morning. And the word that she gave us on Friday was this. Good morning. When life gives you more than you can stand, kneel, have a follow God Friday. And we had just finished in Jeremiah. And her word just hit right on time. And the word for yesterday was this. Good morning, Heavenly Father, is a prayer. I pray that today we choose to forget the past. We don't want anything to hold us back from what you have in store for our future. We choose forgiveness. We choose peace. Help us by your spirit to press forward into the life of blessing you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm going to just say, have a super Sunday, family. God is in charge of everything. We've got to keep trusting God. We've got to keep believing in God. And we got to know that we have the power. We have power. We have power. And we got to use our power for good. We got to use our power for the Lord, because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. So let God rule and reign in everything you do, and watch God work in your life. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, our prayer from our 365 book of prayer, and it says, and we got a couple. And this verse is beyond reason. What should we say about this? If God is for us, no one can defeat us. or no one can stand against. Defender, you are the support I lean on in my weakness. You are my advocate fighting for me. I will not be afraid of the situation that threatened to take me out. I am tethered to your love, and your love is stronger than death. If you've got a hold of me, nothing can steal my peace. I will not worry knowing that you are better than the life I live. You are worth everything I could ever sacrifice, including all my comfort. I know that you hold me in the center of your affection. I am held by grace. With you by my side, I can't lose. What can be taken away is not worth the life I find in you. You are my holy hope, Lord, and I take courage in you. I lay all my fears before you and invite your perfect love to drive out every single one. Thank you for calling me yours. Oh, praise the Lord. Surrendered. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live also. We will also do this or that. James 14:5 NCV. Holy One, while I am limited in my scope of understanding, your wisdom spans the ages. You don't have any limitations. As one who is very aware of my shortcomings, I'm so relieved to be covered by and connected to a perfect God. My confidence doesn't lie in my own abilities, but in your faithful goodness toward me. As I make plans for the future, I willingly surrender them to you, knowing you always know what's best. I will not hold so tightly to my dreams, even the ones that you have given me, but I'm not willing to be redirected by the ones who passionately pursues my heart. Lord, when you ask for surrender, you're not putting me into handcuffs, whether you are making room for me to receive from you in a new way. Let me never be so preoccupied with my plans that I forget that you are after my heart. To make it whole in you, I offer everything that keeps me in cycles of brokenness on your altar of mercy. Make me whole. And this is our word as we end today. If God were to change the direction of your future, how would you react? And I say this, react in grace. So much for listening, family. That is our word for today. Keep God first in everything you do and know that you have power. Again, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and please continue to keep Sister Carolyn and Mother Rita and their families in your prayers. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. I got to go to church, and I'm going to Sunday school. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.